good to pray with you tonight. Most of us have heard the phrase, familiarity breeds contempt, correct? I don't know about that. I mean, contempt is a strong word. That's a strong word, to hold someone or something in contempt because you're familiar with them. I don't know. But I do think this, familiarity can certainly breed indifference, a sort of resigned boredom with someone or something, a taking for granted. Are we like that with Jesus? Are we like that with our Christian faith? Have we become too familiar with the concepts that we're taught, even with the name Jesus? Maybe we fail to appreciate just how truly revolutionary he is and how truly life-changing, life-altering our Christian faith ought to be. But if you pay attention to who God is and who he reveals himself to be in the person of Jesus, you'll be shocked. And if you let him press in upon your life, everything will change. Jesus, well, God, says through the prophet Isaiah, "My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways." That when we enter into really following God, when we really let his grace into our lives to transform our hearts, that everything changes. Points of reference get redefined. Key definitions get completely reversed. So just looking at Jesus and what he says, if you wish to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Boy, that changes things, because most of us don't deny ourselves. We run from the cross and we try to do our own will. Then he says things like this: if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the sake of the gospel, you'll save it. But most of us always try to preserve our life, to save ourselves, not just from grave suffering, but also from any inconvenience. And so again, Jesus trying to reverse things, change things. Jesus goes on, and I could go on for so long, but I'll give you one more. Jesus says, "Blessed are you if people speak ill of you." And then he says, "And woe to you when people speak well of you." You see how he changes everything to knock us off our center of certitude and get us to pay attention to something that's radically new and different. Well, redefining points of reference, changing key definitions, nowhere is that more true than in regard to our salvation. So we look to the cross, and we see the event that depicts our salvation. We know instinctively that that moment there is the most important moment in human history, and certainly in our own personal histories. And yet, I wonder if we're so familiar with it that we don't realize how truly revolutionary it is. I mean, sure, we put on our crosses. Sure, we make the sign of the cross. But I don't know if we engage really what that reality means. Because if we do, everything about our lives changes. That becomes the center point. So look at that crucifix for a moment. Like, really look at it and try to see what's happening, because there is God's great triumph. But then this, the great triumph of God, which saves the world and saves you and saves me, is a moment of profound and utter weakness. Profound and utter weakness. Have you ever really thought about that? that God saves the world through weakness. Oh, sure, sure, Father, nice thought. Oh, I'll think about that. I'll ponder that. Jesus associates power with weakness. I'll say that again. His power is revealed in weakness. How then, you and I who are Christians, how then do we view our weaknesses? With frustration? With impatience? Maybe even with anger? Perhaps with despair? God wants to change all that. And he wants to redefine how we see our own weakness and how we see weakness in general. St. Paul, the second reading. This is 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. Everyone should read that over and over this week to the point where you could almost memorize it. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. Paul is given a thorn in the flesh, and praise God, we don't know what it is. We don't know if it was a physical suffering. We don't know if it was a spiritual suffering. All we know is that the great Saint Paul begs the Lord three times that it would be removed from him. I love that we don't know what it is, because if we did know what it was, then we'd say, well, yeah, Paul had that, but I have this. He has something big, and he begs the Lord three times that it would be removed. And the Lord says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. See, God's grace is sufficient for St. Paul, for you, and for me. His grace is always sufficient. We always have what we need. Everything that we need from God, we have. The question is whether or not we can receive it. How do we receive that grace? Watch what St. Paul learns. And watch how weakness is redefined then. The Lord says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. And then St. Paul says this, I will rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses. Do you do that? Do I do that? Do any of us do that? Boast most gladly of our weakness? But look what Paul realizes. He says, I will rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. That weakness isn't this thing to be overcome, but actually weakness brought to Christ is exactly the entry point where his power enters in. That's why be careful about trying to drive weakness out of your life. First of all, you won't succeed. Even if you think you will become more weak in a worse way. We are contingent human beings. We are very limited. We are very weak, every single one of us. Those weaknesses, when they're brought to the Lord, are redefined. They become entry points for grace, for real strength, for real power, power that comes from God, grace that cannot be taken away by circumstances in this world, grace that links us to life, that cannot be taken away. So Paul recognizes that I'll boast most gladly of my weakness because rather than a thing that drags me down, it is the thing that leads me into dependence on God. And in that dependence, I become truly free. I become strong, not with the human strength, but with the divine strength, because God in his divinity and in his wisdom, which is far beyond you and beyond me, knows that power is made perfect in weakness. He linked those two things together. He goes on, "Therefore, I am content with weaknesses." How are you doing with your weaknesses? Are you content? Thank you, Lord. I'm content with that. Thank you for giving me that. Did you see once again how everything gets actually redefined? Do you see once again how little we actually live our Christian faith when we're complaining about our weaknesses? When we're blaming God or blaming others? What happens is we just don't see weakness the way that we ought to see the weakness that God brings into our lives. Not as a punishment, but as an opportunity. Paul's content with weakness, with insults, hardships, persecutions, with constraints for the sake of Christ. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Boy, that's good for us as Americans to hear. When we're weak, then we're strong. Because in our weakness, if we bring that to the Lord, then we depend on Him who is almighty, who is all-powerful. And that dependence on Him is the source of our strength. Everything else built on any other foundation is a farce. It will all collapse and crumble. But weakness brought to the Lord, that becomes a source of strength. Real strength. So friends, where are you weak right now? Where are you hurting? Where are you not strong? Bring that right to this altar at this Mass. Make that your offering. Because God saves us through weakness. Look again at the cross. That's how we're saved. He redefines weakness. He comes to us in weakness, a little baby, totally dependent. He saves us through the weakness of the cross. And, friends, He comes to us through the weakness of the Eucharist, making Himself so small that people would pass right by and think that what we're doing tonight is unimportant, when it's the most important thing. He saves us by offering Himself to us, giving Himself, His weakness meeting our weakness. But in His weakness, He hides His power, and that power saves us. Friends, Jesus loves you. And He loves you in your weakness. And what He said to St. Paul, He says to each one of us right here, right now, tonight, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness."